Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonio, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Truth Straight Up Show with the Grassroots Show. That's what it is.
It's a grassroots show. Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show.
Grassroots Show. It's Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by who are
handing
you?
It off. Julie's blew it the last time. But now I've got the ball in my court.
Hey, the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Holy cow! A lot to talk to you about today. This is just breaking news. Colorado GOP Chair Dave Williams is going to be joining us today at 3:30. Earlier in the year, we talked a lot about a bunch of financial issues they discovered that occurred under the previous KBB administration. And today, Dave put out a press release saying the GOP is under the new leadership is pursuing civil and potential criminal complaints. They sent a letter to Christy Burton Brown, an official lawyer letter, telling her to preserve all evidence in light of the pursuit of these potential civil and criminal charges. So we'll be talking to him about that. But what a day.
I think grassroots have been waiting for that for quite a while.
Yes, they have. A lot of people have been saying, we've talked about it. And, you know, and KBB and all the rhino establishment media people tried to say, oh, the new GOP can't do it. They can't raise the money, the grassroots, you know, they can't raise any money. Well, it turns out a lot of questions about what the previous administration did.
Well, they also said they're broke. And you kind of go, that's because she left them in debt.
That's right. And she left them in debt because they took the money, right?
Well, they took the money, but they didn't pay the rent and they didn't
right.
do everything else in the world. I mean, they're broke. No kidding.
Certainly financial abuse, possible financial fraud, possible criminal charges. So I'm glad. So we'll be talking to Dave about that. But that started off with real fast developing news all over the place in the Trump case. One of the latest things occurred is that horrible judge out of D.C. has agreed that since they are appealing the immunity issue straight up to the U.S. Supreme Court, she's putting everything on hold, which makes Jack Smith, he is having a very bad day, Chuck, the special prosecutor, because he wanted to try to have a trial by March, right before Super Tuesday, to have Trump in the middle of trials during all of these complaints. Looks like that's going to be impossible to happen.
Impossible. Well, there's a will, there's a way. And I promise you the DOJ and the corrupt judges and the corrupt everything else will do.
They're kidnapping
when you
children.
Want to move heaven and earth, you can do it.
Right. But the whole thing was a bigger wrench was thrown into the works. And I'll ask you to explain it just with your inside knowledge about how the courts work. But the U.S. Supreme Court said today that it will hear Fisher versus U.S. Basically, that is January 6th defendants who were challenging the obstruction of an official proceeding criminal charge that was filed against them. Some 300 people have been charged. Some of them already prosecuted and served their time over the January 6th.
Tortured and committed suicide and everything else.
Oh, horrible.
Justice
horrible.
Delayed is just democratic justice.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about whether it's too little, too late. But what this means is, what they said is that the district court said that this obstruction of an official proceeding essentially stemmed from a corporate fraud case that had to do with
Enron, the type of things that went on with Enron.
Which had to do with actually destroying evidence during a criminal case, right?
Right.
And they said that trying to apply this criminally to what happened on January 6th, you know, number one, was that an official proceeding the Congress is doing, or was it a ceremonial one? But it's a stretch. The district court judge said, yes, it's a stress. The U.S. The district appeals court, I'm going to have to go make the dog stop, but I've said that no, that the prosecutors, could go forward with it. And now the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear it. So why don't you talk about
2-1? The way it works with cert is if four justices want to hear it, they can hear it. And so they got at least four judges who want to hear it. And as a practical matter, you need five for a decision. But they took a case in which it was a split on the Court of Appeals, and they reversed the lower court. So it had to be the most advantageous of all the cases. So I think that looks good for Trump, and it looks good for the defendant. But as I've said, they just piled on tons of charges. Oh, okay. You don't have to spend 22 years. You can spend 20 and a half years.
But you could see here the difference between me and Chuck. Is a glass half full or is a glass half empty? Chuck is
it is a halfway glass, because it really is the injustice that hasn't occurred since the desegregated South.
Well, that's drilled down. That's drilled down on this. So the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court decided to hear it means that they want to look at that the issue is this something that can be charged criminally against Donald Trump? Because these are two of the charges he's facing in a trial that's supposed to go to in a case that's supposed to go to trial March 4th. And as we said, some 300 plus people have either been charged or being charged with it. Would the Supreme Court take it if they were going to uphold the appellate court ruling, do you think? I mean, reading the tea leaves,
all you can say, you know, this is reading the tea leaves. Reading the tea leaves as four justices wanted to hear the case. That doesn't mean four wanted to overturn it, but four wanted to hear it. More likely than not, those four are conservative justices that want to overturn it. But they still need a fifth vote to be able to overturn it. And so it keeps the whole point of it is to keep everyone guessing what the court's going to do or not going to do. I'd give it a high, you know, thing, said at least four want to overturn it. Whether that, you know, Roberts, of course, has every lefty in the world now working for him. So who knows? But you know, there have been cases where people are absolutely assured that the court would overturn it and they didn't. So you can't guarantee it's going to be overturned, but if you had to place a bet, that's where you place your bet.
So in other words, I think it is looking at the way the court operates that I think what we can read into this is there is certainly a very good chance that the Supreme Court would issue a ruling. Now, who knows how narrow they might make it, but that these people, including Donald Trump, cannot be charged with obstructing an official proceeding, and that all of these charges would have to be dropped against these people if they were being jailed on some of these charges. That would have to, I mean, it's
yeah,
a
but what happens to people? The people pled guilty and took a plea bargain.
Right.
What happens
to
them? They don't normally get to go back into court and said, hey, the charges against me. No, they said, you had your chance. You know, we made sure that every juror, not one juror, one trial was found not to violate. I mean, we forced you into this thing. But, you know, it's all the...
I know Julie Kelly, who has covered this tremendously. One of the things she talked about, which is true, she said she was talking to the January 6th people, and she said half of them are, you know, they had very mixed emotions. Some of them were like saying, you know, for people who had committed suicide after being charged with this, for the court to take it up now, it does nothing to erase the pain and the agony and the expenses and everything that they've gone through. And yet, on the other hand, they said it is very good news, because I think a lot of legal scholars and illegal tea leaf readers are interpreting
legal scholars anymore.
Are interpreting it the same way that you are and that I am, and that is it is a significant likelihood that the U.S. Supreme Court will say that Jack Smith cannot charge Donald Trump or anyone else with this. So, in the meantime, though, they've indicated that they might look at the immunity issue. All they so far have asked, though, for that on is for Trump to issue his thing. So a lot of things, but I think in a lot of ways, what's good is all of this lawfare that, you know, gets a lot of headlines in the media. And I got to think it just is backfiring against the Democrats big time, because what they really wanted were the headlines, too, to a certain extent. I think initially they didn't really care what happened down the road. They just wanted all the negative publicity. But all that's done is make Trump stronger and stronger and stronger. And meantime, Biden, because of the economy and other issues, looks worse and worse and worse. So not only did they not get Trump on the PR battle, right, but it's looking like a lot of their criminal stuff is falling apart as well, or at least is going to be pushed out so far beyond, you know, the election and the primary that it might not you know, who knows what will happen with it there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but, you know, the lawfare, you know, they've controlled all the D.C. circuit judges, and they control all the D.C. Court of Appeals. And really, you know, I mean, we also read one on change of venue, you know, trying people in Washington, D.C., who are white and who are Republicans is about as good as going to a Klan rally and being a black. I mean, that's what it's like. And it's destroyed the faith. Good faith the American people had, including whatever true faith that I had in the judicial system.
That's right. Well, yeah, and we'll see. But so anyway, so that's that. On the other, there are a couple other things going on. And I guess this is a day, I think, where we see, does the Republican Congress have, and pardon my language here, but have any balls, right? So right now, as we speak, they're debating formalizing the impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. Now, some people say, well, what difference does that make? And I think, well, what it does is it gets people on the record for it, right? Ken Buck right now is the only Republican that anyone knows of who has gone on the record saying he was opposed to it. Who knows? He keeps saying there's no evidence. Who knows what he might actually do when the vote comes? And we'll try to keep monitor that for you guys. But in the meantime, though, I mean,
you wouldn't think they'd put it to a vote if it wasn't going to pass, but you know, Republicans are Republicans.
Well, know. here's the thing, though. Exactly. Everything I was reading, because they hadn't put it to a vote before, right? Kevin McCarthy didn't want to put it to a vote. They just kind of wanted to launch the inquiry. But going through this will give them a little bit more, as I understand it, power in terms of subpoenaing people and things like that. And so I think you're right. What I've been reading is that they believe they do have the votes. But as you said, let's go ahead and see. I mean, this is time for Republicans. You know, people always say, well, what's a rhino? Well, it's a Republican like Ken Buck, who says he's a Republican and then votes completely against the Republican interest. But
well, you have to realize there's no evidence against President Trump. Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sure, Hunter, in his agony and pain of addiction, he did some things that he regrets today.
We'll get to that in
Joe
a second.
Biden has been
because
perfect.
Hunter was also at the state capitol, although to defy the congressional subpoena. But this is just real good addressing that whole idea of evidence. Here's what James Comer, representative from Kentucky, had to say about that on the House floor. If we could please play the Comer on impeachment soundbite.
Joe Biden has repeatedly lied to the American people about his family's corrupt influence peddling schemes. He told the American people he never spoke to his son about his family's business dealings. He claimed there was an absolute wall between his official government duties as vice president and his family. He said his family never made money from China. All of these are blatant lies. Our investigation has revealed how Joe Biden knew of, participated in, and benefited from his family cashing in on the Biden name around the world. Since January, we have learned some of the following. The Bidens created 20 shell companies, most of which were created while Joe Biden was vice president. The Bidens and their associates then raked in over $24 million through these shell companies from China, Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Romania between 2014 and 2019. At least 10 members of the Biden family have benefited or participated in these schemes. The Bidens layered these payments through their bank accounts to hide the sources of the money. The banks even flagged many of these transactions in more than 150 suspicious activity reports to the Treasury Department. One bank investigator was so concerned about Hunter Biden's financial transactions with a Chinese company that he wanted to reevaluate the bank's relationship with him. He noted that his transactions served, and I quote, no current business purpose, end quote. That's what I call a shell company.
Now, I don't know. That sounds like a little bit of evidence to me, doesn't it to you, Chuck?
No, it's unfair. It's a poor Hunter.
Poor Hunter. Well, speaking of poor Hunter, he was supposed to be deposed today and for the congressional investigation into what he's got going on. And that's apart from the criminal investigation. So he did, you know, I think Eric Swalwell helped him, acting like he was sort of a pseudo lawyer. He's watched lawyers on TV. So he showed up, you know, and all the reporters are waiting. We're going to play a video. Later we'll play a video where you kind of see this person lurking around, and what they're doing is they're trying to see if Hunter Biden's going to show up. So all the media had various places around the Capitol complex staked out to see what Hunter Biden was going to do. So he showed up. He said, I'm here, of course, but he defied the actual subpoena. And I want to go ahead and point out that I think it was like Donald Trump Jr. was subpoenaed by the Democrats, right? Donald Trump's trial. Then he sat for 9 hours of deposition. Eric Trump, same thing, sat for like 6 hours of deposition. But if you're Hunter Biden, Chuck, because he's a victim in all of this, that he doesn't have to do any of that. If we could please play the Hunter Biden soundbite, Thomas.
For 6 years, I've been the target of the unrelenting Trump attack machine shouting, where's Hunter? Well, here's my answer. I am here. Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist. During my battle with addiction, my parents were there for me. They literally saved my life. They helped me in ways that I will never be able to repay. And of course, they would never expect me to. And in the depths of my addiction, I was extremely irresponsible with my finances. But to suggest that as grounds for an impeachment inquiry is beyond the absurd. It's shameless.
Now, let's go back to some of his financial. He had $870,000 he tried to write off as business expenses for sex clubs, right? He was taking over $1 million out of ATM machines to buy drugs. He was sex trafficking. He was, I mean, you know, it wasn't just like all of this while he was refusing to pay child support, right? I mean, it wasn't just that. You know, for him to play the victim and throughout the whole thing, I don't know how much of it you watch. He kept throwing out the, well, I'm a victim here because I was, going through addiction and things like that. And, you know, he's having an affair with his brother's wife. I mean, this wasn't just your little minor addiction. Exactly. Right. He's got family members saying he can't be left alone with children because he behaves inappropriately walking around naked. I mean, these are big issues that he's got. But that's even, I mean, when you Comer outlined all of the financial stuff, and Jim Jordan is making a very big deal. I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but he said, my father was never financially involved before. They've always say his father was never involved.
Involved, yeah.
Now he's saying financially involved. And so you got to say, why won't Hunter Biden go in and be deposed, right? I mean, what do you make of
it? Well, if we're talking about legalese, there's been no definitive ruling whether you have to go and be deposed. You know, you can have a summons to testify before Congress. And Congress didn't like the fact that people like Ollie North would get up there and they weren't sure what he was going to say, and he embarrassed them, that they couldn't count on. So they decided, okay, we got this down. We'll depose them. And so, you know, then after they depose them, if we don't like the answers, we can find them, because it's under depositions under penalties of perjury. And then if we go to Congress and they change the story, we can go after them. So it's a bit of a congressional gotcha thing. And so I'm not totally unsympathetic to why people don't want to be deposed by, you know, adverse.
Right. But I mean, what I'm glad about is, thank goodness, at least, yeah, it's a congressional gotcha. And it's a congressional gotcha that the Democrats have been pulling on the Republicans throughout the entire thing. Yes. So thank goodness, at least under, you know, this new leadership, they have the guts to just not talk about subpoenaing Hunter Biden. They have the guts to go ahead and do it. And keep in mind, he could have, as Byron York, and I'll play a couple of sound bites for him, pointed out, what he could have done was just go on there and taken the fifth, right? The right. fact that he ignored the subpoena, well, that's just what happened to Steve Bannon. Was it Peter Navarro, right? They ignored a congressional subpoena, were prosecuted by the Justice Department, found guilty, and are now facing jail terms, and they're only out on appeal, right? So if you're on the Trump team, if you're on the Republican team, and you ignore a subpoena, then you can be found in contempt of Congress, and all kinds of bad things can happen. So now we're going to see, okay, do the Republicans have the guts, the balls, I'm going to say, to go ahead and vote for the formal impeachment inquiry? And do they have the guts to go ahead and find Hunter Biden in contempt? Jim Jordan and Comer talked about that, and it's a little unclear exactly what they're going to do and when. But if we could please play the Jordan and Comer soundbite.
Don Jr. had to testify twice in a deposition setting, two different committees. But oh, somehow that doesn't apply to the Biden family. That's not how it works in our country. It's supposed to be equal treatment, the same treatment under the law.
Mr. Biden said that his father had no involvement in his business dealings, period. How do you respond?
That's not what Devin Archer said. There was telephone calls, meetings, dinners, you name it. We know what happened with Burisma in Ukraine in that December 4th through December 9th timeframe, where Joe Biden goes and leverages, conditions the American tax money on the firing of the prosecutor who was looking in to the executives of the very company Hunter Biden was on the board of. We know those facts.
Remember, Joe Biden said he never met with any of these people or talked to any of these people. That was the narrative before we began this investigation. Now we know he met with and talked to every single one of them. So the president hasn't been honest about his associations with these people who have been wiring millions and millions of dollars to Hunter Biden. And the Biden family. Look, I think every American has a simple question. What did the Bidens do to receive the tens of millions of dollars from our enemies around the world? That's a simple question.
But Chairman Comer, do you acknowledge that you had an answer to that question and that you found no evidence of wrongdoing or criminal conduct?
We found some very serious evidence that the checks. There's two checks to Joe Biden from his brother that the money to give Joe Biden was through influence peddling. One was through
those
the American.
Loan repayments no. that we all
where are
saw.
The loan documents.
We showed you the loan documents.
That is. You don't understand loan documents. I do. Okay. If you pay me back $240,000 for a loan repayment, I should have a check going to you for $240,000.
Joe Biden's attorneys of inventing
the law firm that represented all the shell companies.
Money.
That represented all the shell companies.
You think those lawyers have
What do you think? You're defending them. I mean, you're acting as
that's
the
just a very serious crime.
I mean, what a shill, what a puppet she is. It's like, well, there was a loan. And he's like, well,
That's all I love Pierre Polyev up in Canada who just wings it to him, you know? let's face it, what happened to Eric Holder, Attorney General of the United States, who was found in contempt of Congress? And what happened after Trump gets in and they have a Republican AG, Zippo?
Oh, yes.
So it's the Republicans always do. Zippo.
Well, hopefully the Republicans will not in this case. You know, Well,
what do you mean this case? They already found the Attorney General, Democratic Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt. But it didn't matter because nobody was going to enforce that contempt.
It's going to be different. I mean, we do have a little bit the Freedom Caucus here. I mean,
you don't get the fact that finding him in contempt is irrelevant. They should do it. But it's irrelevant if nobody will enforce it, i.e. Eric Holder.
Right.
So,
and that's,
you know,
let's go to
matter
an
if
exact.
They, if you actually finally find the guts to find somebody in contempt, but you refuse to do anything about it once you get in power.
Well, although they're not in power right now. I mean, and Byron York.
That's right. But if they are next year.
Right. And Byron Rourke. Oh, wait. Well, before we play that, Jacob's got his hand up. Hey, Jacob, go ahead.
Hold on. Gotta get this right. You know, all the talking heads today have been saying it's automatic that the Supreme Court's going to lean towards the J6 people and Donald Trump. I have a feeling that these Supreme Court justices don't want demonstrators in front of their houses like Kavanaugh did, and that might come into play. And they may go ahead and say, "Yeah, it's okay what what happened in the courts with these J6 people. They'll say it's okay. They're not going to get involved.
Maybe.
It could be, although, you know, again, yeah, we absolutely never know. I mean, here in Denver, I was sure that the Denver District Court judge was going to throw Donald Trump off the ballot, and she didn't, right? And the Supreme Court is supposed to rule, the Colorado Supreme Court going to rule on that. So I wonder, though, Jacob, I mean, if you're the U.S. Supreme Court, you do kind of have a whole slew of these Trump-related cases. You've got the immunity issue. You've got this obstruction thing. You've got the 14th Amendment. They've got a slew of them, and I wonder... I mean, I guess I would want to say you'd hope.
It could go three ways. It could go the way I think it was going to go. It can go the way of, you know, that the Democrat, what is it? The liberal judges are going to say, no, we're not going to go against Trump because this may end up getting us impeached down the road. Or it may go that all six will say that, Oh, is it only five? Oh, okay.
Nine.
Well, not yet.
Nine. Yeah, all nine. Yeah, all nine will go. They could. I think it's 40% that they're going to go against Trump. I think it's 55% that they're going to go with Trump, and the remainder is that they're afraid to make a decision because they don't want protesters in front of their house.
Okay. Well, that's,
yeah, that could be.
Merrick Garland and the FBI, they didn't want the justice to be shot or hurt, but they did want them to be intimidated. That's why they made sure that they never arrested anybody until the guy who came to kill him.
And I'll leave with this. I think Christopher Wray really needs his job because anybody to take that kind of abuse, I mean, he should just say, "I give up and quit."
Christopher Ray, coming into his job, was making like $8 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're right. It can't be very fun being him right now. And today, again, is probably not a very fun day for the prosecutor, Jack Smith, right? I mean, if he was smart, he saw this day coming. And again, I still say, I think the Democrats, this is backfiring on them, I think potentially legally and certainly from a PR battle. But they've gone down this road, right? They've got nothing else that they can do about it. And I would like to say just one other thing, too. Where are all of the stupid other Republican candidates not weighing in on this, right? It's like, you know, and all of them are, they're just kind of waiting for Trump to go to jail so they can jump in the fray. And they don't have any courage either.
Well, going back to when Trump was first elected, how many Republicans left office because they thought he was going to be convicted on that Russia thing?
Right.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, Jacob. Hey, thank you. Good point. Hey, and then, you know, Chuck, to your point on the what will happen with the contempt. And again, I would point out that Trump's kids showed up and testified with a congressional subpoena. When Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro refused to, they were found to be in contempt of Congress. They were criminally charged by Merrick Garland. They were tried. They were found guilty in Washington, D.C. courtrooms, and they're appealing it now. So they're out on appeal. I mean, to me, if they don't charge Hunter Biden too,
U.S. attorney is going to charge Hunter Biden, I promise you.
Well, and that's what Byron and Thomas, I'm going to skip one. We're not going to play Byron York one, but if we could please pay Byron York two, because that's what he says also, Chuck.
And they could pursue contempt charges against him. The only problem there is the House can get all excited and find him in contempt of Congress. But the problem is the Justice Department has to enforce that. Right. Now, during the January 6th committee investigation, we saw the Justice Department get really serious about contempt of Congress. So when a couple of witnesses like Steve Bannon were obviously in contempt of Congress, they wouldn't show up, they wouldn't talk, they wouldn't produce anything. They were cited for contempt of Congress and the Justice Department prosecuted them. Here, I don't think the Biden Justice Department would be very energetic in pursuing a Hunter Biden contempt of Congress.
And that's probably putting it mildly, wouldn't you say? Yep. Hey, and Thomas, if you want to go ahead and give Dave Williams a holler now, too, we're about a minute early, but that's okay. Yeah, but, you know, hopefully, at the very least, I mean, and this is maybe kind of pathetic that this is what we have come down to. At the very least, I would like to see the House Republicans make the meaningless gesture. You know what I mean? It's not totally, at least it would rally troops a little bit, right? It's like the speech you give before you go into a battle that you know is not going to go your way, but at least you give that great speech, right? I would like to see them do that. And again, at the very least, make it a little painful for Hunter Biden, right? Because no, as he said,
a contempt of Congress is not painful for Hunter Biden.
No, well, it might impact his art sales, which, thank God,
it only increases art sales. I promise.
It will only increase it. Okay, so we have Thomas was on it. GOP chair Dave Williams, doing a great job. Hey, Dave, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
Yeah, so I saw you sent out a press release, essentially.
Very festive one with all kinds of colorful graphics.
Essentially
and all
saying. That the Colorado Republican Party, the current leadership, is pursuing criminal and potential civil and
potentially criminal
complaints. And you sent a letter to the former GOP chair, KBB, Christy Burton Brown, to preserve all evidence. Why don't I back you up and explain, because you did a great job in your letter explaining this, but for our audience, explain what prompted this move today.
Yeah, you bet. Look, it's kind of been a little bit of a slower process because we've had a number of irons in the fire. This all went back to the transition. We didn't have a good transition, hardly any transition, if I'm to be blunt. But the long and short of it is when we, Tom and I, the treasurer, started digging into everything, we started to unearth a number of troubling things. And we went ahead and disclosed that to the Central Committee in August. And, you know, we had a number of examples, right, where, you know, the past administration was, you know, they didn't pay $9,000 worth of rent to our landlord, for example, or they saddled us with, you know, anywhere between $50,000 and $60,000 worth of legal bills that, you know, we're not sure were legitimate. You know, we're still untangling that mess as well. And, you know, one of the more egregious things that I think the Central Committee, you know, is owed an explanation on is when we were at the March 11th reorganizational meeting in Loveland, Christy Burton Brown and her team talked about how they were essentially leaving us $100,000+ for the next administration. And when Tom and I finally got control of the finances, or at least even a view of it, we were spent down to about $8,000 plus
with debts to the law firm of another 40 and another 9,000 of so you were left with effectively a bankrupt organization.
Yeah, we that's correct. I mean, we were definitely in the red because of what happened.
And then there were other things, too, and I know we've talked about them on this show, where they were paying themselves giant bonuses for having the worst election cycle in Colorado history, GOP history. Somebody was continuing to charge credit cards for God knows what, had continued some kind of health insurance policy, even though they weren't. I mean, you had other stuff there that, to me, sort of is borderline, not just fraud, but stealing, really, right?
Yeah, you had a number of those types of misappropriations and dishonest activity going on that we've compiled what we've uncovered so far, and Tom is still going through his analysis with the committee we had set up. So now we're on to the next step of, you know, asking Christy Burton Brown as well as others, don't delete anything. Because we're going to escalate this. It's just a matter of, you know, putting it together and doing it in a responsible way so that our case is, you know, pretty much rock solid.
And when you say you've asked them, am I right? And this isn't this wasn't just a little text saying, "Hey, KBB, don't delete anything." I mean, this is a formal lawyer, legal kind of letter, kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. We went ahead and relied on our national committee man, Randy Corcoran. He's For those of you who don't know, he's also an attorney, a practicing one. And we thought, given the sensitive nature of what's happening within our party, we should probably utilize the talent that we have in our own leadership. And that's why we went with Randy. And Randy's going to help us get to the bottom of everything and hopefully put some accountability in place so that this never happens again.
Well, part of the problem is there's been no hostile takeover of the Republican Party, or at least one side or the other, that keeps you honest. So you've really have, and one of the bigger fraudulent ones that appears to be fraudulent is they constantly did reports showing cash on hand, which is a lie. The cash wasn't there. There was a discrepancy going over, I think, 8 years. But 8 years, you can't just keep on telling the U.S. government that here's your FICA filing or FEC filing, and in fact, it's a fraud. The money's not there. The money is not there, and you did it knowingly. You knowingly, she did it knowingly, or maybe that's the charge anyway. At least potentially someone did it knowingly.
Someone knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's all a part of what we are trying to better understand. I think we have a pretty good picture now of what happened in part. But you know, the problem is this could very well go back beyond Christy Burton Brown, and in fact, I'm sure it does from what I've already seen. So this is sort of the thread that we're going to be continuing to pull on, and I'm fairly certain, unfortunately, that once we pull on it sufficiently, it's going to lead to even more revelations that are just not good for our party. At the end of the day, if we're going to, and I made mention of this in the email I sent, if we're going to be given the privilege of governing and serving the people, we better have our own affairs in order. We can't have this type of, at best, this type of incompetence, and at worst, you know, this type of corruption going on in our party.
Well, and the two kind of feed off each other, right? So if you've got a messed up financial situation and you have somebody who's so inclined to take advantage of that and then do criminal corrupt stuff, it goes hand in hand, right? If it's a mess, I mean, part of, I think, sometimes what people who play these kind of games rely on is the fact that it's just too complicated to figure out, and then they get away with it. And you're being nice about this, and I understand, you know, you have to be, but I mean, there was a lot of stuff. They had like storage sheds and storage rooms that were being paid for that were just nonsense. They made everything as difficult as they could for you guys to figure out financially. Like you said, it wasn't only that there was like no transition, there was sort of like an anti-transition. And you know what, Dave, I think they were lying. They were relying on the fact that people would be like, oh, well, this is going to make Republicans look bad. And, you know, I give you credit for saying we got to get this straightened out.
Yeah, look, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that was a consideration on my part.
Sure.
We do need to protect the party and, you know, avoid as much embarrassment as possible. But what's more important is that we have a good, you know, honest, transparent organization that will avoid these situations in the future. And, you know, I've said this all along. Look, we're not going to regain a majority in 2 years. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get to a better place overnight. My main focus, my main job is to just right the ship, rebuild the house, and put it on a firm foundation so that we can have success in the future that, quite frankly, I'm not going to be able to reap the benefits of, right? None of us who are rebuilding the party right now are going to, I think, see the fruits of our labor, not until, you know, we've seen enough reforms that lead to the promised land, so to speak. But that's okay, because I'll tell you what, you know, people 6-8 years down the road are going to be very happy that we took these measures now so that we could have a chance at a Colorado that's not dominated by Democrats.
Well, and what you've done also, that's, you know, I mean, when you took over the whole rhinos, the KBBs and the rhino establishment and the establishment media were all constantly taking shots saying, oh, look, under the grassroots leadership, they're going broke. They were implying that you were the ones who weren't paying the bill. They were implying that all of these financial problems were your fault. And because the grassroots were around, no one would give anyone any money, when the very fact is that it was the previous leadership who, you know, potential criminal behavior was going on, and certainly questionable abuse of possibly fraudulent, as you said, misappropriation, mismanagement. I mean, that really bothers me that they thought they could get away with just saying, oh, it's the grassroots, when they were the ones who were doing it, who were doing the bad
thing. Well,
you
think that because you can either have the Democratic press as be hostile, or you have the establishment press, Gazette, Denver Gazette, the Colorado Springs. I mean, the whole thing. And you know, it was interesting. Christy Burton Brown, when she wanted to give her defense, went to the Times Reporter.
Yeah, I mean, which is a Media Matters organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they think they can get away with it because they probably can. I mean, they think they can get away with it because they probably can.
Well, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. We're just going to follow the facts where they lead and let the chips fall where they may. At the end of the day, we're going to disclose to the central committee and the membership what's going on with our party and let them know, you know, the financial health and well-being of it, as well as the organizational health. You know, the good news is, despite the sabotage from the establishment and some of our detractors, we're doing good. We've turned a corner. We've taken an organization that we inherited in the red with only $8,000 or so in capital and turned it into a lean, efficient organization with over $500,000
wow.
in cash on hand. So, you know, it's knock on wood, but it's quite likely that we'll have more cash on hand than Democrats for a second month in a row. And you'll notice how the media doesn't want to report on that.
Yeah.
No. They don't want to disclose for the fact that the previous month that was reported, we had more cash than Democrats. So, you know, this is how the game's played. There are folks that have a narrative. They don't want conservative grassroots Republicans being successful, because truth is they have more in common with Democrats than they do us.
Right.
But it's a new day, and we're going to continue moving forward in rebuilding this party.
I'll be curious to see how they play it, having, you know, kowtowed to KBB and, or, you know, and all of that. It'll be interesting to see.
My
know
guess
this
is radio silence. But
well, you know, Dave, let me ask you this. I would think, and you maybe can't answer this, but like if I'm a major donor, I would be like annoyed at this. I would be like saying, wait, so I'm giving you all this money and you're doing what with it? And now they're pursuing civil and potentially criminal complaints against you. I mean, I would hope that number one, if you're a major donor, you might say to the establishment people, hello, you know, and maybe say, maybe I should start giving my money to, oh, I don't know, the Colorado Republican Party that's actually trying to do something for a change.
You don't know the big donors, do you?
Well, I know. That was a silly plea, but still.
Some of them, I think some of the donors would be shocked with the mismanagement of money that we could demonstrate to them. But there are some that legitimately don't care. Right? And the reason that I don't think they care and why it's a good bet is because they keep giving to these failed strategists, right? I mean, we've seen it for the 20 plus years, right? Since Jared Polis and his merry band of billionaire, millionaire donors, you know, instituted the blueprint. We've seen our side give money to incompetent, feckless strategists and leaders who don't know how to do anything other than lose the trust and confidence of the voters. I mean, let's just take a look at Bill Owens for a second here. You know, Bill Owens, a lot of people don't really think about him too much, and that's by design. He's the one orchestrating a lot of what you're seeing right now with respect to the establishment's hopes on you know, CD3.
Right.
They really want to engage in a primary that is not likely to be successful other than to harm Lauren Boebert.
Right.
Well, even if it is successful, their candidate is going to be so harmed that it will turn this either way. It'll yeah.
Democrats,
you know,
win.
I think it's
a really cynical take on what's going on here. I think their calculation is, you know, Lauren Boebert will be out for 2 years, and they'll just sucker Adam Frisch, and then they'll try to take it back. You know, very much what you saw with, I think, Betsy Markey, right? CD4, right? Cory Gardner took it after Marilyn Musgrave lost it, but that was only 2 years. So they're kind of playing the long game. And the reason I bring it up is that these people have grown government. They've not fought for Republican ideals. And if you don't believe me, just look at referendum C&D or Governor Owens, you know, a Republican, fought really hard to expand government and, you know, violate Tabor. And these are the people that have been kind of running the show for 20 years. And they don't care. They keep getting money, you know, to go and implement all the things that just aren't working. I mean, you saw this last cycle in 2022 where you had $250,000 from a, I think it was Advanced Colorado. If it wasn't Advanced, it was Ready Colorado, one of those two, who were spending $250,000 on Republican primaries in safe Republican seats, where at the end of the day, it was really of no consequence. It didn't matter if it was Lisa Frizzell versus Bill Jack, because when you're at 19 in the House, you're not doing anything. I don't care what wing of the party you're in. But nevertheless, they spent those resources on their friends as opposed to spending it on competitive seats where we could have won. There were many seats that we lost by a few hundred votes. But they directed resources in safe Republican seats to the benefit of their buddies. Why? Wow. I think it's because to grow government.
Do you know who's behind Ready Colorado?
Well, it used to be a gentleman by the name of Luke Ragland. He might still be involved.
He was the person out front, but I know,
right?
Luke.
Tyler Sandberg was one of their, I think, executive directors.
He was the founder of it, but he has no money. So who is
right?
Behind?
Well, sure. I mean, if you want to trace it all the way back, it goes back to some of the higher dollar donors throughout Colorado history. One of those people being Phil Anschutz. Right. Yeah, now you can ask them what their motivations are. I suspect you won't get an answer, but it's pretty hard to see that if these people keep investing in loser Republicans who spend money rather than win elections, then I mean you gotta start asking the question, is it on purpose?
Ready Colorado was the one that went into Weld County along with Catherine Murdoch to make sure that you only had rhinos winning the primaries. They, you know, Catherine Murdoch wanted to hide a little bit so Ready Colorado could do the hatchet jobs and pretend they were, you know, they're a charter school. They care about kids. They care about the kids. But it's an amazing web of intrigue behind the Republican Party.
Well, hopefully, too, this action you guys are taking. Let me ask you a final question before we let you go. We'll get to that because, okay, so you've sent this letter, an official legal letter to Christy Burton Brown and others saying to preserve all evidence from when they were in leadership. What happens next?
Well, Randy put a deadline in that letter, so we'll wait for the deadline to come and go, and then we'll decide what our next, you know, steps are. We have a pretty good set of information already. It just would be nice if, you know, they could hand over what we strongly believe they have in their personal possession. You know, we were able to recover a number of files that were deleted, a number of emails that were deleted from the past administration, but we don't have a complete picture, and so we strongly suspect that they didn't get rid of it.
Although I have this vision, I have this vision of Christy Burton Brown pretending she's Hillary Clinton and bashing cell phones and things like that. she's Googling bleach bit right now or something.
Right.
I mean, we're gonna continue to follow this through, and you know, as I stated earlier, we're gonna have our committee that's investigating this put together a good case that we can pursue in the court of law. So that's our next step.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
I think it's going to be well greeted by grassroots who have been hoping there'd be some action taken, and it looks like it's going forward.
All right. Dave, thank you.
You guys, thanks for Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right. So that's a great move. And real quick, Jacob had asked a question. Was this money used to arrest Tina Peters, a Grand Junction clerk? I think, no, that would have been different money. This was just state GOP party money.
Right,
So that's good. So we'll be obviously following that more on our show, too, as well, to explain that to people. And I'm glad they did that. I think you're right, Chuck. That's going to be great news for grassroots people.
Well, they just have been a little, you know, and this has been not just since Dave came on, time. Of saying, you know, what are these people exactly doing for us? and now you have an answer to that, at least a partial answer to that.
Well, and even better news too, Dave says that they're in better shape than they were in spite of all of the establishment Rhino efforts to tank the party.
Well, they're better off and they're taking action. I mean, you know, they've been, you know, what the Brownstein firm would always say, we can't afford to do anything. And then, you know, Dave said, okay, let's find another way to be able to do it. And then have brought cases and done lots of great stuff. So that world, there's a will, there's a way.
There we go. Hey, that is going to wrap it up for us, everybody. On Friday, we've got a guy coming on. It's really interesting. He's got sort of an interesting, not a take, but sort of setting the record straight regarding the History Colorado Sand Creek Massacre exhibit, which we're going to talk to him about that. Obviously, so much more going on, too. We'll keep you up to speed on all of that. Want to thank Dave Williams, everybody on Zoom. Chuck, you got to get back to work getting the paper out.
No, I do have to work, and then I'm going to go see Robert Spencer, who's often on our program. So I'll give a report back on that on Friday.
All right. Hey, everybody.
All right, everybody. Take care. Goodbye. I get to say goodbye. Goodbye, everybody.